Good morning and welcome to the Tuesday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. I'm Joyanne Haig. I will be your moderator for today. We are going up until 2 p.m. and looking after all things technical is my good friend Ronnie Clark. The numbers to call, 434-1790. To send us a WhatsApp message, 266-4862. So, Barbadians, what do we say to Tropical Storm Dorian? Not today, Dorian, not today. Or in the words of our Prime Minister, or Bajans, not about hey, Dorian, not about hey. And speaking of our Prime Minister, I want your thoughts today on how you thought the Prime Minister and her cabinet handled the preparations and her leadership during and before and during and after Tropical Storm Dorian. My thoughts, for sure, she's been given, according to somebody, 1,000 points. I was very impressed, very blown away. I can actually put her up there with another prime minister that I really admire, is Jacinda Ardern. And of course, we all love Barack Obama. But I really want to say kudos to our prime minister and the cabinet and Barbados Defense Force. And of course, to all the people on the ground who worked hand in hand to prepare. You know, it's sad that it needs a storm for some of us to get together to help. But again, it was an exercise that we needed to do in preparation. God forbid if we actually have a storm coming that would or may devastate this country. It's good to see that a lot of plans have been put in place. And moving forward, we can only get better from here. But I must say the pictures of the Prime Minister at Paragon, really, boy, I smiled and I was like, wow. And certainly as a woman, I am proud. Of course, women probably will say, and a friend of mine said, well, it takes a woman to do the job. But needless to say, it takes a lot of people to do the job, regardless of if you're female or male. But our prime minister happens to be female. And hats off to her and her team for a job well done. And speaking of job well done, I also want to highlight a young lady, 18 years old, aspiring to be a chef. She works at Savannah. She's studying and she's trying to be a chef. And she had to work yesterday evening. And of course, her parents were worried. And she got there. And unlike what people may say about, you know, young people and they don't want to work, this is one young lady that felt that she needed to be there because Savannah Hotel had guests. And she said to me, she said, imagine if you were somewhere on an island and you're a tourist and everybody who works at a hotel abandons the hotel, then what would happen to the tourists? So I want to say special kudos to young Kiara Warren, aspiring to be a chef, working hard in the kitchen at Rachel's in Savannah, and to the staff at Savannah Hotel for keeping the guests more or less comfortable, I heard, and making sure that at least their visit to the island is probably going to be memorable and that nothing major happened in the end. And we are certainly thanking God for that today. Can I get an amen? And on that note, this is Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air. Good morning. Down to Brass Tacks, you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, good morning, Brass Tacks. You're on the air.
Yeah, it's Glenn.
Good morning, Glenn. How are you?
I'm good. I'm glad we all survived unscathed. Nothing was
worse than damage.
Nobody lost. They were all hurt. So.
No, yeah, we're all fine.
Good. Because it would have meant they would have had to divert scarce money from other important things to do any repair, rebuilding, recovery, and you know what I would have meant. So.
I think people, by the way, just stick a pin, I just want to remember the Royal Barbados Police Force. I mentioned the Defense Force, but we have to thank them too. I don't think people recognize that how much we should be breathing a sigh of relief, because no one wants a storm, certainly after we've seen so many images of what took place in Dominica 2 years ago and so on. We're so lucky.
It's testimony to our various institutions, the way they've handled these things, which they've handled for years. But the point to see, it's good to see the institutions and the various bodies and posts and other things operate at the highest possible level in it. So I think that That does bother the sport every time. And it's very
so, but what are your thoughts on how the government performed in terms of managing this storm? Preparations during, after? What are your thoughts?
I thought they did. I think they did well. They did commendably. I don't think we were already tested, so therefore it's hard to say about the test type of operation in actuality. But they did well. I thought some of the PR was overdone, but that is definitely
What do you mean overdone?
I just felt that there are certain things which could have been dealt with quietly and not be grandstanded. But I don't that's not my real reason for calling today.
Okay.
I want to talk about a different thing. I want to talk about a subject which has not received very much attention. I want to talk about the obvious revival of the Democratic Labour Party at its annual conference.
Mm-hmm.
From according to the paper, newspaper, because I have not seen a single mention word vision of it on CBC News yet. I only watch the news at CBC, so that's what I can account for.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a shame that the Democratic Labour Party, which has been around since 1955, which has been in the government on several occasions, could be given such short shrift. I think that is undeserving of CBC. And I say that as one who
Let me just ask a question. You're saying that they were denied. Do we know if they went to CBC?
I have not seen or heard a mention.
Okay.
Of CBC. Even in news, no, I did not hear any mention of CBC at all about the conference.
Okay.
I might have missed it, but I go by the news.
Mm-hmm.
I don't hear much of the radio newscast, but I watch the CBC newscast every night, and I was particularly struck by it because I know when they had minister response with CBC,
mm-hmm.
right? I interfered not so rarely. News was news, no matter what the source is coming from. The only time I would call CBC, I would call the news editor late in the evening, 5:30, 6 o'clock, to see whether there are any stories that broke late to which the government might have to respond. Nothing more, nothing less. So I know it can be done that way. But I felt that CBC, the DLP deserve, as a institution, serious institution in Barbados. If you're interested in not to some fair play. And I don't believe in coincidences, especially in politics. We are politicians. I don't think that no matter what the demands were on it, that some mention could have been a report, you know, not necessarily visual, but you could carry somebody's voice and mm-hmm. a picture of them all. So some mention could have been made news. I thought CBC has fallen down tremendously.
Well, you know, what's interesting, and having been in involved in media and communications, you would have to ask if they made a request for CBC to be present to carry the story. I mean, we don't know. I certainly don't know.
If they made a request? In my days of journalism, once you knew there was something going on, you sought to be there.
Well, sometimes...
You don't always wait for them to call. You can initiate because you want to inform the public.
I understand that. I do understand that.
There'll be covers that they don't wait to be told about.
But let's just be fair. You could be right, but they also on the other side of this coin.
All I'm saying, I think it's a regret. It's a great regret.
That they did not. It wasn't covered by the state or agency. Okay.
I think the conference 3-4 days. No mention at all that I heard in the news of it at all. Right, and I feel that we could do far better than that. And I would like to see that is one of the things where the partisanship disappears. They will form the next government at some time.
But you know, Glenn, you should also take this up too with CBC as well, because I'm not sure if they are hearing you on this side. Maybe they do monitor.
I already called to talk about the DLP's conference, not CBC.
That okay.
I'm not criticizing CBC. That's just part of my discourse.
Okay. Okay. Understood.
I'm saying that all along. I'm not surprised that the DLP had such a successful conference, as from all I've seen and read, and right,
mm-hmm.
or heard on VOB, because as a 55-year-old, as a 64-year-old institution, I never expected with deep tentacles in the political ground of Barbados, with branches all over Barbados. So I think I had a track record of making very meaningful contributions to Barbados, despite its most recent incarnation as a government. I never thought it was just going to fall up and die and go away. It would have been bad for democracy in Barbados if that were to happen. I never expected it to happen, and therefore, those who are trying to downplay it, I think I make a mistake if you want to preserve our democracy. And I wish Ms. DePisa very well. I always thought, even before the change of government, I thought I had seen a growth in her, and I would tell my friends in discussion about that she would be one for the future. She's a quiet. She's a quiet. She seems to have a quiet steeliness about her. Based on her encounters on VOB programs and whatnot, call-ins, et cetera, she can punch and counter punch. And I think she will do a good job once she's allowed to. And it seems that they are allowing her in the DLP to operate. And therefore, in that regard, we should give her time. In the same way we gave the government time to settle down and perform, we have to give this new DLP administration even a time to perform and see what its policies are, its programs are, and whatnot. And just talk about, I like to hear the end talk about they're not going to be in power for the next 40 years. That is pure political hyperbole and myth, because nobody knows what the situation should be like in Barbados 3, 4, 5 years from now. The BLP suffered I remember in 1986, 24-3. And therefore, I empathize with DLP when they were taking their time and trying to revive. To be beaten like that, was devastating. It's humiliating. You feel deflated. You feel as though you lost your whole being. And it takes a while for an institution to rebuild itself, to get its programs back in place, to put its policies in place, to get its candidates in place. The elections are not due for another two and a half, three years, whatever. Mm-hmm. So they have time with branches already existing. They're not a third party, which don't have to go inside the branches. Their branches, all they have to do is to work to revive their branches through their proposals, through the program, through their PR, through their vision, through their leadership, through their resuscitating their branches, re-stimulating their interest. And I think that will do them well.
Okay.
The other matter I want to talk about mm-hmm. would be there is a one of our most frequent callers, regular callers, known as the Statsman.
Yes.
Right. He has, over the years, been accorded a certain credibility because of his references and facility with numbers and statistics, economic statistics, or whatever, which I myself have respected because he had more facility than I thought. Therefore, there was nobody commanding him, contradicting him, but therefore he accepted his things with credibility. But it's when he ventures into analysis of those figures, or when she ventures into political analysis, that I have to question things. For example, on his last or his second last utterance, when we were talking about, you know, the Zexit question of the invalidity benefit, mm-hmm. he made it be known that the two ministers, Minister Jordan and Minister Strachan, who had spoken about it, had spoke out of turn. In other words, they had no authority. They were standing out of their place. And I was amazed that someone, presumably an outsider, I believe that the ministers only could have spoken as ministers of government, access to information, cabinet, attending cabinet meetings, making cabinet decisions, having access to cabinet papers and cabinet information, therefore able to speak. But for him to say that they spoke out of turn, I thought it was a great effrontery to them. And I'm surprised that nobody, none of the ministers or somebody on their behalf, I know Minister Strachan, I heard he was away sometime last week,
mm-hmm.
But certainly Minister Jordan should intervene, because it questions their credibility. So unless he has more information and better information than the public has. I mean, Statsman, who has been dubbed recently as Mr. Point by Minister Kelman, former Minister Kelman. But unless he has better information, I think he should come out and say why he has determined that they have spoken out of turn. I don't think it's fair to ministers who are caring enough to make a comment on an urgent, important public issue,
right, for
then to be coming to by an outsider that they spoke out of turn. And let me say this. I take words, you know, in broadcasting communication, words are very important. Mm-hmm. And I heard Minister Jordan say in the House of Assembly when they were debating the reclassification, renaming of the former personnel administration division to something else. He said that words are important, words are valuable to him, and again, because they give messages, they give information, they give symbols. And therefore, I heard Minister Jordan therefore say that it was a mistake, it was wrong, it would be corrected. I heard Minister Strachan say that they were working on to get it corrected soon, but that it was not a mistake, and that that the government could not afford to pay it, and that is why it was being done. But the point is, they made comments. So I take their words seriously, like we were urged by Minister J- Jordan. And I think, therefore, I think in the good interest of this issue, which has not gone away because they had calls galore over the last few days. Payday was Monday, pension day was Monday, and some of the stories are horrifying. And I still feel that this is an overdue issue that has not settled yet and should not allow to be denied
a natural death. It's now August 27th, so let's see what happens over the next few days. We know we had the storm and a few delays, so let's see. But Glenn, we do have a full board, and I want to thank you very, very much for your contribution as always. And we will take a break, and we'll be right back. Welcome back. Let me just say that I disagree with one or two comments that the public relations yesterday regarding the prime minister and the cabinet, the storm was overkill. I think you have to understand PR, and in particular in a crisis, and how it was managed by the prime minister and her team is the way you're supposed to manage a crisis. She's to lead, or he or she, in this case she, is to lead from the front, and she did. And you wouldn't want your leader sitting at a lower court relaxing and just giving instructions and, you know, via cell phone. Prime Minister Motley was certainly out there in her outfit, which I might add, she was still in the same clothes this morning at the press conference. What does that tell you? That she didn't get time to change, she didn't get time to sleep, that she was always on the job. I actually saw a video of her in the kitchen at Paragon. I'm not sure what she was peeling. It looked like potatoes, but I'm not sure. But the point is that she wasn't sitting in some room waiting for someone to give her a meal. And those are the things that you look for in leadership and in communications, because in life, it's not so much about what people say that you remember, it's how they make you feel afterwards. And I pretty much felt motivated. I felt, okay, we can't do anything about the storm, but at least the people who are in charge, I felt confident that they knew what they were doing, and that if we had to pick up the pieces afterwards, that we would do so. So that's my take on it. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning, ma'am.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, we survived.
Praise God.
Thank God for that.
Yes.
So I have come to realize that when someone don't like you, no matter what, you can't make them like you. Right? And I've also used my own personal thing in that you see 100 people drawing, you there standing on the beach or the bank of the river, whatever, people there, you see 99. That boy, they haven't made an effort to help you. The one perish, you are going to be criticized. Right? What more does this lady have to do? I saw on television last night.
What lady were you speaking of?
Talking about the prime minister.
Okay.
I saw her last night on television doing something that, but I'm not saying that they never do it, but I never saw it. But I know what I saw last night. And they can tell you this, the last one they do not saw. Right? No. My advice to Ms. Molly, I'm going to let you hear something here. Can't get away from that.
Well, that's a given. That's a given.
Yeah, but my thing is, though, don't matter how much you dislike a person, and they do something that deserves it.
You got to give Jack his jacket.
Give them. But a lot of them come on this program because of, from both sides. Because when the last government was important, I mean, I really can't criticize them because the last government hardly did anything that would cause anybody to praise them. But even in times before, you have the registered tips and your votes of both political parties. Show your true worth. When credit is due, give it. And when the party that you support does foolishness, destroy them too. I got a problem with that. Now, I sat down recently. It may sound comical to some people. They know I can get some lips right, especially from Mr. Ellis' neighbor. A possible solution where both quarters and some of those people who have been, I use the word some because not all, can reap benefit from this relocation thing. For every 5 quarters, that is relocated. At least two people who are on the low list at National House. At least two. At least. I am totally against this thing about destroying people's houses and that kind of thing. Also, these quarters can be given an opportunity to own their own homes again, go into a rent-to-own program. If they're not working, someone will not find work for them. The rent that you pay will go to you owning your own home. That is not my decision to make. It's just an idea. Ideas can be picked apart or they can be reinforced. I only hope that whoever coming after me to talk about it will reinforce it. But you just cannot throw people on the street. And that is another area. She's the only prime minister so far who have looked to do something about this squatter situation. None of them, none have thought to do anything other than talk. And that is because of politics. But she has clearly shown that this is not about politics. This is about helping human beings. And for the Mr. Ellis's neighbor, I'm calling a boy name, put yourself in those civil situations, especially with a family, especially young children. Do that. That's all I'm asking you to do. And come on the program and state it. You know, John, to me,
thank you so much. I will say again, for me, I was impressed. I'm not saying that everything in terms of all of the agencies that had to get their act together didn't have challenges. They did. We know some agencies did, but that's not to say that they didn't put in an effort. And anything that we fell down in this time around, God forbid if we have to face this again, we would see some improvements. And I'm sure that even with her leadership, Ms. Motley behind the scenes would have seen some things that she probably felt that needed some improvement. No one is going to be perfect. I think all we ask as a people is for people to just do better. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good morning. You're on the air.
A blessed good morning to you, Joanne.
And to you.
How are you doing?
I'm very well. And you?
This is Mr. RV Culture. How did the weather treat you?
Well, I can't say I wasn't scared for about 5 minutes. I had to call Dennis last night on the air. He's back in the chair right now, by the way. He's producing today. Ronnie was actually holding on. So special good morning to Dennis Johnson. Train again. I don't know how much sleep he got.
Dennis has worked extremely hard.
Very, very much so.
I hope that God gave him the strength to carry on, you know?
I'm pretty sure he does because he's here with us, Dennis. So.
Well, he's a man I know for a long time, and we had our differences. Only with Brass Tacks, as you would know, you will have, where you're making your contribution.
You're making him laugh.
I don't look at it as you being eating off one's head. It is debate. So all right, I want to make my contribution this morning, but I want to just read a little passage here with John Public first. Then Jesus got into the boat, and his disciples followed him. Suddenly, a furious storm came up on the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us, we are going to drown." He replied, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. Then the men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him." So the God that we serve is a God that answers prayer, Mike. Because when we look back and see about 2 years ago, and you could help me along, Joanne, what happened in Antigua and Dominica and those Caribbean islands with the Category 5s a couple of years ago, I do not think that we would be able to retrieve ourselves for a very, very long time. Not that we can escape every storm or hurricane that come our way, but God is a God prayer. He answers prayer, and I am thankful this morning that he spared this little 166 square miles. We get a little rain, we had a little thunder, we had a little lightning, we had wind, but we were not, I didn't hear of any real disaster or devastation in any area, and I want to say I am truly thankful to the God that I pray to, and the God that I serve. I am not perfect. A lot of people are not perfect, because those without sin, let them cast the first stone. But I don't think anybody can touch a rock stone in Barbados. But I pray to God and hope that he answered my prayer, Joe. And he answered my prayer last night and the whole day yesterday. And I am truly thankful. I want to go on now to say that partisan politics will always allow people to ridicule an individual or lambaste a government because of their one-sidedness. And I'm guilty of that too, because I've done it on numerous occasions. But when you look at the Honourable Mayor Motley in dealing with this situation and her cabinet and the DEO staff, etc., you have to give that administration 1,000%, Joanne. You have to give them 1,000%. Because we have to push aside your differences and come together at a time like this. And sometimes we wait on government to do every single thing for us. But I want to say, in this, even in this community that I live in, the people come out and they clear the drains, they rake up the leaves from the drains, they cut the drains and make sure that all around us, that if, even if you had the amount, 6 or 7 inches of rain, that the water will not stay on the road for a long time, that it will run off into the bottoms, because we have some areas of sucks that the water will go to and it will run off quickly. So the government did an extremely job, whereas we pushed forward the time for cutoff time for bear off the road. Mm-hmm. I had to allow that, because the Prime Minister never said that she is a meteorological person. She was taking word from all of the qualified people in their respective areas. And you, as a leader, as you rightfully said, you cannot sit down in an air-conditioned office and with your foot lap and expect that anybody going to look at you with any air of respect. Then you come out and you hit the ground running. And I think to Joanne, mm-hmm. she asked all the sanitation workers to come out. And although you know last week that we've been having a lot of challenges with those sanitation workers in terms of overtime and their work, etc., everybody left home and come out and got a truck. The persons who work on the back, and they went out there and they cleaned up Barbados beautifully, so that if we had that water, none of that garbage would be swept away with the water and go to the mouth of the wells and into the gullies to stop that water from running off. So
understood.
I have to say, I am so grateful to the leadership of the Barbados Labour Party and the DEO and the Meteorological Office, all persons who deal with weather. I have to give them kudos. 1,000% goes out to them, Joanne.
Okay. Thank you so much for your contribution. Good morning, down to brass tacks. 10:39, down to brass tacks. Good morning. Need to turn off your radio.
I have to give them kudos.
Good morning. You need to turn off your radio.
Okay. Thank you for your contribution. Good morning. Down to brass tacks.
Well, that person obviously can't hear. Hello.
10:39.
Good morning. Down to brass tacks.
Good morning, and how are you, ma'am?
I'm very well, and you?
I'm the first-time caller.
Welcome, welcome. How did the weather treat you last night?
Oh, very good. God is good.
All the time.
And the Prime Minister is very good, too.
Okay. Well, I'm with you now, on that one, with the way she managed. I'm very impressed, but let's hear your contribution.
I will not be long. I just listened to your first caller. Saying that he did not get any news from CBC towards the Democratic Labour Party. Is that what he said?
Basically, yes. He said unless he missed it. So he said he might
have
missed it.
I want to ask that gentleman, where do he live? In Barbados, or he got along with the storm? Or he got short memory? Does he remember when the Democratic Labour Party was in power, what he did to the Barbados Labour Party? Can he remember that? You couldn't find a single word from coming from the Barbados Labour Party going towards CBC when the Democratic Labour Party was in power. Matter of fact, some of those people went at the meeting in the CBC wearing red, and it was turned back by security. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So that gentleman, when he's calling it, he's feeling embarrassed, he feels shame. I am saying to him, do he have short memory where he lives? Do he live in space? Do we forget what went down with the DLP when they was in power? They treat the Bible Society so awful. They treat them so badly. You couldn't find not a single word, not even the conference for the Bible Society, they will not even broadcast. Even they promised to pay them, not promise, pay them to broadcast. They refused the Bible Society. Now he will come on the air and telling you that he is shame, feel bad about this. Listen to me. The Bible said, eye for eye and a tooth for a tooth means me, and that is all I have to say. Goodbye and have a good day.
Okay. Thank you so much. We'll be right back after the break.